Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Tuesday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Monday. Labor's making some big promises. Andrew Dickens reviews some of these shortly. How did fireworks night go for Marcus? Surprise weddings, big surprises, and Leighton on homework. But before anything else, Gough is defending how much money the Auckland Council spends on itself, basically, and he's promising cuts.
So $373 million across 10 years, is that correct?
Yeah, that's the predicted or the estimated amount that we'll make in savings from the first four of 30 reviews. Now, you know, a saving isn't achieved until it's actually realised, but that's what our reviewers believe is possible, largely in the area of bringing together water care and stormwater, the stormwater section of council, so that you can get far better deals on procurement, you can do shared maintenance. There's a whole lot of economies of scale and efficiencies that can be created. So that's the single biggest area that we'd be making savings in. And I think they've already made probably, $160 million in savings post-amalgamation by bringing wastewater and freshwater together under water care. This is the next step, building on that foundation.
Right. What about the communication and marketing staff? I think there was 230 full-time staff. Are you targeting that?
Yeah. There is a very clear recommendation coming out of that committee. One is that, you know, instead of having five organisations each separately bidding for advertising space, you get economies of scale by doing it as one. But secondly, they say that we can make a 5% net savings each year for 3 years by bringing in greater efficiency and effectiveness in the way that division operates. And that's the total is worth, they estimate to be worth about $54 million over the 10 years.
So anyway, by latest stories we've heard, nowhere near enough, basically. I mean, it's a good start, I suppose. Keep cutting, please, Phil. Right, meantime, Labor, they're promising other things left, right and centre. I think a lot of their promises have got to do with spending more money.
This policy of one-year free tertiary education the first year may result in 15% more admissions to university. 15% more students could suddenly truck up to the uni next year. If that's the case, how will our already stretched unis cope? Is Chris Hipkins in too much of a rush? And now he's said that the contracts for some charter schools, their days are over. Again, it's November. Schools start in February. Two contracts were signed in June and are about to open in February. Another four opening in 2019. Of the schools starting in February, the process that they started goes back to May 2016. People have been employed. Buildings have been leased. Money's been laid down. Promises made. These are contracts. They were signed by the Crown. And defaulting on a Crown contract is something that doesn't go down well. Ask Māori about the Treaty of Waitangi. So these schools are going to be mightily hacked off. And wouldn't you blame them? To me, it has the smell of a bit of a payday for the lawyers. And here's my point, though. Whether you're a supporter of free tertiary education, whether you think it's a good idea that we don't have charter schools, whatever, there is a process. And just because you're all of a sudden the government doesn't mean that you can start breaking the promises of previous governments willy-nilly just because you don't believe in the theory. This is a transformative government, but you can be a bit too transformative a bit too quickly. And that's where mistakes can be made, often very costly ones.
Is it that they're worried they're only going to get the 3 years, so they need to get everything done, spend all the money, and then get out again? Is that what's happening there? It feels a bit like that to me. Anyway, we'll see what happens. I've got kids that are about to go to university, so I'm into spending less money on that, definitely. If I can spend less money on them and they go away from me, that's the best possible scenario. Now, how did Marcus's fireworks night go?
Guy Fawkes, I love it. I just love it. I probably love the memory more of it than the reality. But when I think of things about where I've come from and my upbringing, yeah, it was a big day. It was the biggest day of the year, and it maintains that way too also. So I'm not keen to get it going before too long. And can I just say, public displays were never part of my culture. I always thought public displays have always been a bit hit or miss. There's always been some kind of rogue promoters that get involved with those, and quite often they do literally go off like a damp squid.
I really feel like for the first time this year, for me, I have turned into a grumpy old killjoy when it comes to Guy Fawkes. And I don't know whether it's just me. Obviously I have got older, but it seems like some of the boxes of fireworks, obviously, that you can get now, because they don't have quite the cool rockets and things that they used to have, they seem to have some of the loudest things I've ever heard in my life. It sounded like actual cannon fire. And because it was Sunday night, you had it Friday night, you had it Saturday night, and Sunday night as well. It was too much. My cats didn't care. People always go on about the pets getting all upset about it. No, we're a bilious, but I tell you what, it's bloody annoying for somebody who has to go to bed early so they can get up at 2:55. Anyway. Now, the surprise, wedding surprises was a topic of conversation with Kerry and Mark yesterday. This sounds like it was a big one.
My husband and I got married in 2004, and I believe we're the only people in New Zealand to have done this concept for getting married. It's extremely affordable and a whole lot of fun. I thought I'd bring up and share the idea with your listeners.
Go on.
I realise that prices go up, and the price, I'm sure, has gone up to what we paid in 2004. But my husband and I decided to get married at 25,000 feet, along with our friends and family. So we chartered an Air New Zealand plane and filled it with the 66 seats, 64 guests, and my husband and I. He sat in the front row with the minister. I sat in the back row with my bridesmaid. And the music started once we levelled off. The pilot had Whitney Houston, "I Will Always Love You." I walked up the aisle. We had about a 15-minute service, flipped down the tray tables, signed the marriage licence, and we chartered for 2 hours. So then we had the wedding breakfast, the most magnificent meal Air New Zealand put on. It was first-class style catering and entree, bread roll, dessert, the whole nine yards. And it was so affordable. As I say, I'm sure the prices have gone up, but the meal worked out at $20 a head, and it was magnificent, including handmade chocolates and olive oil for your bread, etc. And the chartering of the plane was $9,200.
You're kidding!
I'm absolutely not kidding. As I say, it's 14 years later, so it will have gone up, I'm sure. And I don't work for Air New Zealand. My husband and I have no affiliation with Air New Zealand. We just want a unique wedding venue.
Wow.
And we just wanted to do something fun and quirky, and so we did. Seeing we hired the plane, we put our name all over it. We came up with a logo. Our surname is Fitzgerald, so we called it Fitzgerald United Airlines, and we put up the order of service on the back of the safety information card, and we put little decals on the front of the bulkhead on the outside of the plane. I mean, for 2 hours, it was our plane to do whatever we wanted.
Wow.
With. So we had so much fun, and our guests were just blown away. We were going to keep it a secret, but we were so excited about it, we just had to tell people.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm a massive fan of that. I don't like being trapped at a party. It's like people who hire a boat, you know, and you go out and you have the party on the boat. It sounds fun at first, but if you just can't get away, can't get off, and it's difficult to get off a plane unless they give out parachutes at the beginning. Maybe that's what happened. They gave out parachutes. You know, sometimes they give everybody little cameras and things at the reception. Give out a camera, give out a parachute, just in case you need to leave. Finally, Leighton on homework. I don't know why this came up.
Call me whatever you like. I don't care. This is a suggestion that I think has some merit. When kids do homework, it quite often involves parents. Not always, but it quite often involves parents, particularly parents who are interested in their kids' education, their future, getting things achieved and succeeding. So if a kid's at home and they're doing homework and they get stumped and they ask mum or dad what the answer might be, or how do you deal with this or whatever, it draws parents' attention to what the kids are learning and helps them become more involved. And I have a suspicion that that has something to do with it. There are forces afoot that don't want parents involved in education. But out, we know best. How many parents listening to this now, how many parents have been told that from time to time? Parents who are enthusiastic about their kids, who attend schools, who, when the kids are not doing so well, go to the school and say that I'm worried about this. It happened to me. When I say it happened to me as a parent, I were not worried about that. And therein lies arguably one of the reasons why the educationalists, and in some cases I use the word loosely, aren't interested in homework. Because it takes the kids out of their realm of control. Now, that's, to some of you, will be a major conspiracy nonsense. I just think there's some element of truth to it.
I've never been a fan of homework. I didn't like doing it. I certainly don't like doing it now that I am not a student. I don't want to be involved in it just because I have students living in my house. And especially now that they're doing stuff that I have no idea. I can't help somebody with their Spanish homework. I can't help anybody with their maths homework. I've deleted all those archives in my brain. I'm using my brain for important stuff, like remembering which episodes of what program I need to watch this week. That's the kind of homework I'm interested in. I'm Glenn ZB. That has been News Talk ZB for Tuesday. I will see you back here again tomorrow for more. Don't worry, I'll remember that. That's something I'm using my brain for.